they can see the dhikr of Allah like beams of light in dunya. So they will know where the name of Allah is being remembered and they would go there to attend it. We know the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whenever a people come together to study the book of Allah, they would be surrounded by angels. How do the angels know that you're there? Because they see your meeting like a star. It appears to them like a star in the sky. And that's how they know where you're located. So by just mentioning the name of Allah, you don't have to give any address or directions to the angels. They'll know it. They'll come without you telling them so. Because there are some angels whose work, the only work they have to do, is to attend halaqat of dhikr. They go around from halaqa to halaqa. So even though Sayyidina Yunus was under three levels of darkness, the darkness of the stomach of the whale, the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the night, this dhikr was still seen by the angels of Allah, like a lightning in the sky. So these angels, they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, "Oh Allah, isn't this the voice of your servant Yunus ibn Matta?" How did they know him? How did they recognize his voice? Because it was familiar to them. They heard it before. It wasn't the first time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Yes, this is the voice of Yunus ibn Matta." The angel said, "Oh Allah, aren't you going to have mercy on him?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reason why he saved Yunus alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ.
If it wasn't for the fact that he was among those who used to glorify me before, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale. But because he used to make dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him then. It is because of his long track record. Allah knew him, the angels knew him, because he used to make dhikr of Allah all the time. When things were easy, he would say, "Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar." He didn't just remember Allah at that moment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and protected him from that difficulty. So dear brothers, let's not wait until it's too late. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس شبابك قبل هرمك وحياتك قبل موتك وفراغك قبل شغلك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناك قبل فقرك. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, take advantage of five before five. Take advantage of your life before you die. Take advantage of your young age before you become old. Take advantage of your health before you become ill. Take advantage of your free time before you become busy. And take advantage of your wealth before you become poor. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you any one of these five, or a combination of them, or all of them, take advantage of them before the opposite happens. Because nothing is permanent in dunya. Don't take anything for granted. Health is not permanent. If you think that you're healthy today and you'll be healthy tomorrow, that's wrong, because there is no person who ever lived a healthy life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for all of their life. We all become ill. If you're young, definitely you'll grow old if the angel of death does not have you take you before that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with wealth, and by the way, you don't have to be a billionaire to be called wealthy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you have enough food at home and you have a roof to shelter you and you have peace, فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. It is as if you own the whole world. If you have enough food, you have a roof above your head, and you have tranquility and peace, what else do you want? You are the wealthiest. And many of us go through that experience on a daily basis. How many of us go without food for a whole day? Or days, or weeks? Like the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. We have more than an abundant supply of food. And we all have a place to shelter us. And most of the time we have peace and tranquility. So you are wealthy. You are wealthy. So we need to take advantage of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us before it all goes away. You know, shaitan comes to us and says, enjoy yourself now. There's enough time to make tawbah. Make tawbah tomorrow, later on. Enjoy yourself. But shaitan is not telling us the whole story. Shaitan is not telling us that death comes unannounced. You might have remembered the accident that happened over India. A Saudi Airlines crashed with a Uzbek plane. A plane travels with a speed of 600 miles per hour or something like that. So you're having two planes traveling 600 miles per hour, opposite direction. So when they collided, you have a combined speed of about 1,200 miles per hour. Now, if people die in accidents of 40 miles or 50 or 60 miles per hour, how instantaneous do you think your death would be when they have a head-on collision at 1,200 miles per hour? Instant death. You know, you could imagine it that there's two people sitting next to each other, and one of them is speaking to the other person, and he dies before the sentence is completed. Or maybe he has a spoon of food traveling up to his mouth, and he dies before he eats it. Or maybe you'd have a person on that plane thinking about his plans for the next year. He doesn't know that in the next split second he will be dead. So these people didn't have time to make tashahud or say la ilaha illallah or make tawbah. If they weren't ready, they're never ready. Because death for them was instantaneous. Fajah. This is maybe an example of something that is instantaneous, but for most of us, there's not enough time. I mean, only with the Anbiya of Allah does the angel of death come and seek permission. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, before any Nabi dies, the angel of death would come to them and tell them, would you allow me to take your soul? But with us, the angel comes unannounced. You can't tell him, please give me 1 minute. Whenever it's time for you to die, death will approach. One scholar was mentioning a story of a man who was in Riyadh, construction worker. He was working on the 7th floor of a building. And because of the lax safety precautions in Muslim countries, this man had no protection. He just fell down straight from the 7th floor, landed on the pavement. Everybody gathered and they thought that they're going to pick him up and he's dead. But to their amazement, he was alive. And he was so happy that Allah spared his life. He offered to invite everyone around him to buy them some drinks. He was so happy that he's alive. So he stood up to cross the street and go and buy them some drinks. And a car rolled over him and killed him. Now, this man, having survived falling from the 7th floor of a building, the last thought on his mind would be that he would die a few minutes away. I mean, this wouldn't be on his mind at all. He would say, Subhanallah, Allah loves me so much, I'm going to live forever. But the reason why he died where he died is because that is where Allah made taqdeer, that he was destined to die in that particular spot at the exact time. So actually what happened is, because this man had an appointment with the angel of death in the middle of the road, Allah brought him down from the building to go and meet the angel of death.